Texas. He said, this is your sermon by today because it was Wednesday. I said, yeah. Got all kinds of things to do. But I never find out now. He says, well, just read Luke 2. So I took great advice. Just read Luke 2. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, verse 6 to 20. So while Mary and Joseph were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no gift available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His will rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in a manger. They had seen this, spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, which were just as they had. A little more than religion. Religion, it's a word I don't really like. Because religion is often so predictable and so monotonous and so dull. And people of Israel in the time when Jesus was born knew this really, really well. Because that's all they had left was the religion. They just went through the motions. They knew about the Sabbath, and they kept the Sabbath as well. They had time to a certain time, and nothing has to be done, and blah, blah, blah. And that's all they did. But they forgot about the meaning that the Sabbath was actually something so completely different. It was a time of celebration, because God had set them free. God had paid them a new life. And it became religion. The sacrifices that were meant to bring them into God's presence and create this moment of relationship became rules and regulations. This you do, this you don't do, and you go and you just get over and done with, and you please God, and then you can go home. Because it was religion. The feasts and the festivals became empty moments of just going out and saying, oh, well, remember some of the old stuff, and then go home again. See, that's the problem with religion. It's boring and predictable. It has no vitality. It is not life-changing. It's all about rules and regulations. Even God, in a sense, I think, got a little tired of the predictability and the boringness of religion. He would think back to those amazing days in Genesis. They would walk in the garden with these people. And where they could sit down and just talk, heart to heart. Where they could create the relationship, the conviction to the Lord. Today, I'm not going to go into this, but you know this when I say this. Religion is a scary stuff. Because religion, in religion, we have God down back. We know exactly who he is. We know exactly what he does. We know exactly what we need to do so we can placate him. And we think we've got him in a box and we've got him there. And as long as we run through these little things, all is good. this letter guards all the rules and regulations of the kingdom of Christ. What is all about relationships? Maybe that's the surprising thing of this little story that we read again this morning. That God is not as predictable as we sometimes think He is, and we want to think He is. We should take you back to this story again. This story comes at the end of a time period that is called the so-called 400 years of silence. So after the last prophets, after the exile, Malachi was one of them. After those prophets, for 400 years, there was what we call silence. Not in the sense that God was silent, that God wasn't doing His thing all the time, but the silent time was God didn't call any new prophets. There weren't any prophets that were raised up by God. There were no judges that would come and help the people. They just fell into their religious life. They went for sacrifice after sacrifice, and rule after rule, and regulation after regulation. And something was missing. This amazing moment that we read of this morning in this scripture passage. When God decides He needs to come into this world and give new life to His world, He stands there. And He sees us when He comes into this place and He's born as a crawling, kicking little baby. He comes even further. He's born in little Bethlehem, down on the outskirts, not in Jerusalem, the center of religion, not in Jerusalem where the temple would be, not in Jerusalem where all the high priests and the priests and all the those who knew the scripture off by heart would be. No, he's born in a little Bethlehem. And when he reveals himself, he doesn't reveal him to the religious. He reveals himself. You remember what I told you about the shepherds, because I told you this before. When we meet the shepherds in the first century, it's not our shepherds that we spoke about for the last 4 weeks in Psalm 23, the days of David and down. The shepherds in the first century were the outcasts. They lived on the fringe of the society. Remember what I told you about them? They were not even allowed to be a witness during a trial because they were not seen as reliable enough to be a witness. They're out there on the outskirts. They're not part of society. And when God decides to reveal, when God decides to come back into this world, God goes to those. They're on the outskirts. Now, I can for a moment imagine myself being these shepherds. They're just doing their shepherds. Out there doing the thing. And the next moment, here's an angel. Now remember, the shepherds in that area didn't each have their own little protector angel who was running around with them every day just checking in. Everybody be okay? Everything's fine? No. Angels usually didn't appear to bad people like shepherds, they appeared only to good people. That's what the law said. That's what religion said. So when this shepherd appears, as this angel appears, no wonder the shepherds are terrified. Because they're thinking, holy Moses, this is not a good thing that's going to happen to us. And when the angel goes on and he says, don't be afraid, I'm thinking, be afraid. It's kind of like me when I'm in my office and someone comes in and they close the door. And they start and they say, I just want to tell you I really love you. Then I know the next thing the scripture will come. These angels, we're afraid. We don't want this. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the angel got lost. He was there like 4 kilometers north. You right landed in the wrong place, angel. And the angel didn't have any place. He was in the perfect place. And he had to listen to his words. And it did not stop. And I want you to go to Bethlehem. And there you will find a Savior that was born for you. And here he comes. He comes for such as us. He doesn't come to the religious. He doesn't come to those who are in the box. He breaks into this world in that moment. Such resemblance. Of course, our ancestors might just smell like sheep, but it's okay with that. He comes for those of us whose sheep might be dirty because we walked in the land and went to work in the fields and we smell a little sweaty, and it's okay with that. It's fine for you. He comes to those whose lives might be dirty because they're filled with sin, and it's okay to touch them. For those fingerprints might be all over places and things where they feed and they hungry. What did you follow? Did you follow regulations? Did you say this way? He went from structures to relationships. Because that's what God does. He makes relationships with people. He doesn't want to be a God far away that I know all about the lines that I've never met personally, and I've never held to them, and I've never felt in love with them. That's what God does when he comes back into this world. He moves from those structures that we need into our lives. He moves from rules and regulations to good news. Great joy, because that's what happens the moment I allow this baby to be born into my life. All of this stuff disappears, and it becomes nothing. What becomes important is to know him, and to love him, and to experience him, and to walk in a relationship with him. That's why God comes. But those who are involved, what about the brokenness? God walks up to each one of us this morning and God says, my favor is upon you right now, where you are, as you are. Do you understand that God said in this Advent time, this is why we came into this world, to bring that hope that I will stand next to you with my favor when your life is falling apart, that you're broken and struggling, and God says, just listen to the choir. My favor is and I walk with you, remember 3 weeks ago? I walk with you even through the deepest darkness. That's what God's favor means. God's favor means that when life is just sometimes too hard that I don't think I can go on, God says, don't worry, get on my back. And I will carry you, because that's why I'm there. I came because my favor rests on you. When all things around me fall apart, and I lose my job, and stuff just doesn't work, my favor is still that's why I came to the broken. That's why I came to the difference. Thank you. We need to go to that mountain church for a moment. And you need to go down and pick up that little baby. And you know what you'll smell when you pick up that little baby? After they saw this, they went around and they spoke to everyone about what they saw. That's what happens. When you meet that baby, when you meet the Son of God in your life, and you have that personal relationship with Him, you can't help but speak. Jennifer Tilly, she's smiling at the after the mission. We just had a talk the other day. She says, man, I'm just out of a mission at that work of mine. I can't stop talking about Jesus. And I tell them about Jesus, and I tell them about my relationship. And I say, praise the Lord for that, because that's what happens. When He calls you, when He allows you to see that baby, and you look to that face, and you tell Him, you can't help it. Don't trust those things to stop. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody what Jesus did for me. And they go, and they fall, and people are stunned because that's what happened. What happens when you meet the baby? Your life changes, and all those structures disappear, and all of a sudden, you just say, can I get that too? And the buildings break open, and God can move you, and the Spirit can move you, and God glorifies Himself. Care of all the young men, not only expected to be serious to you. Although I went out to one of the first parts of my center, we based on the database, it was a major based on the Zambezi River. In Zambia, Angola, went to two people, the young men, and talked to them, see how they're doing, and pray for them. Such a job. That's a question. So we got on the little patrol boat by day to say, why don't we jump on the boat with us? Let's go down because we set up to do this. So we get on the patrol boat. And we're going down into the Zambezi River, Zambia, South Africa. So, and as we travel, there's a truck on the other side traveling with us. And I said to the boss, let's travel. He said, every day as we go down, we're on the patrol that goes down with us. We can turn around and come back. He comes back with us. One of the young men asked me, Father, could we have a moment to follow the priest? So we go and we sit up at the priest. And then says to me, my life is a mess. It's horrible, horrible. I've done so many bad things. it's a great thing. My base was the first place of the church. We were the first Christ in the world. Next day, we were in the office of the next day. We just got this huge call from the group to do a chance of our congratulations and congratulations. Yeah, I heard it was a development. So they said that we got this. We got this work to go get the young man. And they landed. It was the exact same thing. I was on the boat with him. I had to do it with somebody on the boat with every day. I said, I'm going down the boat with somebody with him. But this day, I got the sign of the boat. It was a 50-minute trip to Shiva. The truck. And I got it down in the background. So I had lost the limbs of the nest. To go every day. Which changes